The Tap.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 8 o'clock. Good morning, I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. We may know later today whether a boy in Chippewa Falls accused of killing a 10-year-old girl last year will be tried as a child or as an adult. The boy's lawyer says he plans to rest his case sometime this morning. Yesterday, an expert testified the suspect has mild autism and might not fully understand what he did. The suspect is now 15 years old. He faces life in prison if he's convicted as an adult. Tighter rules could be coming for companies like Uber Eats and DoorDash in Wisconsin. Jimmy Cusco reports.
A state Senate committee took testimony yesterday on a bill covering third-party food delivery companies. They might deliver a restaurant's food, but they don't have a legal relationship. Steve Anderson is a lawyer for Culver's.
When they list our information on the website, I can tell you every single time it's incorrect. The pricing is incorrect. The menu items are incorrect. The ability to customize, which is essential to our brand, is incorrect.
The bill would let restaurants cut ties with third-party delivery companies. It would also make drivers comply with food safety codes. For Civic Media, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Senator Tammy Baldwin is touting a new agricultural research facility in central Wisconsin. She was at the Marshfield Agricultural Research Station in Stratford yesterday. Researchers are looking for better ways to solve a number of challenges in rural Wisconsin. Baldwin says it's part of the mission of the Wisconsin Idea. The facility is part of the University of Wisconsin in Madison. Baldwin helped get $6 million in federal money for it. Like every other sector, there aren't enough healthcare workers in Wisconsin. Short-staffed hospitals and clinics mean slower service. Patrick Teep is a dentist in Verona.
Right now, I mean, I've been searching for a second hygienist for over 2 years, and the applicants are almost zero. And the issue gets to be is that means I have patients that are waiting far longer to get in for the care that they need.
That was Teep speaking at a forum on Wisconsin health care policy yesterday. Democratic Senator Kelda Roy says the new state budget only provides the bare minimum to meet the industry's needs. Republican Representative Barbara Dittrich touts the state's apprenticeship program as a way to steer young people toward health care careers. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services wants to train 10,000 people to be state-certified caregivers through a free online course. The program was developed with help from UW-Green Bay. The program also gives people a chance to connect with employers who are hiring. Workers who complete the program can get hiring and retention bonuses. That's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. Today's the third day of hearings in the Lily Peters homicide case in Chippewa County to determine where the case will be heard in court. Peters was killed last year and left in the woods near her home in Chippewa Falls. Judge Stephen Gibbs will decide this week whether the lone suspect, a 15-year-old boy, will be tried as an adult or if the case will go to juvenile court. The boy is charged with first-degree intentional homicide, which carries a mandatory life sentence in prison if he's convicted as an adult. Unity High School science teacher Brian Collins will represent Wisconsin in the National Teacher of the Year program. The DPI announced that Collins, one of five Wisconsin Teachers of the Year, will take part in national professional development and represent the state as part of the program. Collins has been a teacher for 22 years at Unity. The National Weather Service in the Twin Cities says that it'll be very summer-like today across much of northwestern Wisconsin with temperatures into the 80s. There'll be rain chances later today and throughout the rest of the week. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Brewers lose 7-3 on bases-loaded walks to the Rockies. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was a tie ball game, 3-3, when the Brewers and the Rockies went into extra innings last night at AmFam Field. Brewers manager Craig Counsell sent in lefty reliever Andrew Chafin to the mound. He was recently picked up in that trade with the Diamondbacks. The Rockies TV network.
Bases loaded, no one out. Ball four, not even close, and the Rockies have the go-ahead run.
bases remain loaded. No one out in the 10th.
The Brewers pitchers walked 8 batters last night, 4 in the 10th inning. Craig Counsell.
We didn't throw strikes that inning, and anytime it's that kind of dramatic, it's going to cost you.
Next, the Brewers brought in rookie reliever Abner Uribe, who not only walked in another batter, but he also got tagged with a pitch clock violation. Counsell asked, did he regret putting in a rookie into a game with men on base and extra innings?
No, that's part of this process. That's part of being a big league pitcher. You're going to have to pitch in as a big leaguer.
Game 3 of the series this afternoon. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers are back in Madison and hold practice today. Head coach Luke Fickell says right now he's looking for starters on both the offense and defensive line.
If you're not strong down the middle in everything that you do, so that's the nose guard, that's the middle linebacker, and that's the middle field safety in a lot of situations. The same thing offense. If you're not strong down the middle with your center and your quarterback and that tailback, I mean, you have no place to go.
NFL, the Packers in Cincinnati for joint practice sessions against the Bengals. Matt LaFleur on what kind of format he's worked out with Bengals head coach Zach Taylor.
We went through the whole practice in terms of what is the emphasis of the periods, the number of reps that the ones will be going against the twos.
Rookie defensive lineman Colby Wooden on facing the Bengals offensive line.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. Finally put some pads on and get somebody other than, you know, Packers, and they just happen to be a good team. So it's going to truly test to see what I got, and I'm excited for it.
That's Packers defensive tackle Colby Wooden. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Welcome into the Stu Daniels Show. I'm your host, Stu Daniels, on this Wednesday morning. It's the 9th of August. Hope you're having a good day so far. Outside today, going to be mostly sunny in most areas, but some areas with a slight chance of rain. La Crosse today, mostly sunny, high around 85 degrees. Eau Claire, mostly sunny, with a slight chance of rain after 3 p.m. Richland Center, mostly sunny with a high around 85 degrees. Amory, mostly sunny with a slight chance of rain after noon, high around 80 degrees. And up in Hayward today, partly sunny with a slight chance of rain between 11 and 5 is what the National Weather Service is saying. High around 80 degrees in Hayward today. And in sports, the Brewers lost to the Rockies last night, 7-3 in 10 innings. They're still a game and a half ahead of the second-place Chicago Cubs. Game 3 of that 3-game series is this afternoon in Milwaukee against the Rockies. And so what's going on in the headlines today? Well, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin will be in La Crosse today talking about the Inflation Reduction Act and one of its key components, lower prescription prices for senior citizens. Also, Forbes magazine just published its list of the top 25 cities for young professionals, and both Milwaukee and Madison made that list. And also, Governor Evers is calling on state lawmakers to put $1 billion toward child care services and workforce development programs. Man, I remember when $1 billion used to be a lot of money. It doesn't seem that way anymore, does it? But anyway, let's get to that story first. And by the way, right now, 9 minutes after 8 o'clock, and this story from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Headline, Governor Tony Evers proposes $1 billion for child care and workforce, despite Republican lawmakers already denying similar plans. And it says here that Democratic Governor Tony Evers is calling on state lawmakers to put $1 billion toward child care services and workforce development programs.
It's a long-shot request similar to failed spending proposals introduced during state budget writing process that Republicans who control the state legislature quickly promised to reject again. Evers' $1 billion plan would allocate more than $365 million to child care programs, guarantee 12 weeks of paid family and medical leave for Wisconsin workers, invest $66.4 million in UW system schools, award nearly $200 million for UW-Madison's proposed engineering building, and millions more for workforce education and grant programs. Now, to me, all of those proposals sound like good ideas. What do you think? The story goes on and says the proposed special legislative session, which the governor is calling for, is scheduled for September 20th. And it's also Evers' latest attempt to extend funding for child care counts, a pandemic-era program that has helped keep child care centers open in an unstable economy. Evers and Democrats tried on multiple occasions to include $340 million in permanent funding for the program in the new two-year state budget, but Republican lawmakers included $15 million for other child care services instead of the $340 million that Evers and Democrats were asking for. This program, Child Care Counts, will run out of funds by January, this coming January 2024, without additional funding, something that Democrats and program advocates warn could trigger large tuition hikes for parents, worsen staff shortages, and shutter child care providers. Evidently, none of those things matter to the Republicans, who often say who often act like it's every man for himself. Here's a quote for you. It says, "That's a completely catastrophic but preventable scenario for our kids. So I'm calling on the legislature to invest more than $365 million in child care support statewide and child care programs that we already know are successful," Evers said yesterday, at Tiny Green Trees, a nature-based child care center in Milwaukee. He went on and said, "It's really not rocket science." Both Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Republican from Rochester, and Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu, Republican from Oostburg, dismissed Evers' announcement in statements Tuesday, with Voss calling it nothing more than a rehash of Tony Evers' tax and spend budget that did nothing to address long-term child care industry challenges. And here's the quote from Voss. He said, "Republicans made the decision to return the budget surplus to the taxpayers through a middle-class tax cut. Governor Evers vetoed it," Voss said, referencing Evers' partial veto of Republican tax cuts included in the state budget last month. Quote, "Now he's rushing to spend billions of dollars again, so it can't be given back," is the end of the quote. Representative Mark Bourne, Republican from Beaver Dam, who co-chairs the legislature's budget writing committee, told the Journal Sentinel on Tuesday he had no interest in reopening budget deliberations, effectively paralyzing Evers' workforce development plans. Bourne said he would instead focus on sending $3.3 billion in tax cuts that Evers vetoed back to the hardworking taxpayers of Wisconsin. So how many times has Governor Tony Evers called a special session? Evers, during his first term in office, called Republican lawmakers into special session 12 times. That is the second most in a four-year term of any Wisconsin governor. Most tried but failed to urge legislative action from Republicans on issues they already opposed. Examples from last year include special sessions called to overturn Wisconsin's 1849 near total abortion ban, or giving every state resident a $150 tax rebate. Republicans gaveled in and gaveled out of both sessions in seconds, as has become common practice since Evers took office in 2019. The same thing is expected to happen when lawmakers are asked by Ebers' executive order to gavel into the special session on September 20th. Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee twice rejected Democratic proposals to spend $340 million on child care accounts, fund paid family leave, and bolster higher education funding during the budget process that ended last month. And I got to ask you, what is wrong with those programs? Don't all three of those programs help working people in Wisconsin, the middle class, the working class, child care accounts to help with child care, paid family leave, and higher education? Those are all things that I would think we want to support. So why Governor Evers thinks Republicans could be open to his proposals? Evers believes this session will be different than past special sessions where Republicans gaveled in and gaveled out in seconds. Quote, I know Republicans do not want to be responsible for farmers, hospitals, schools, and other businesses in their district not being able to find workers because parents care for their kids, Evers said. If they don't take this seriously, it will not be a bipartisan responsibility for the financial consequences, but their responsibility. Representative Jesse Rodriguez, Republican from Oak Creek, said in June a separate $121 million funding increase for programs overseen by the State Department of Children and Families would help stabilize some child care centers through a $15 million fund to provide loans to child care providers. So what does the Child Care Accounts program do for Wisconsin families? Child Care Accounts began in May 2020, just after the pandemic started. The most recent iteration of the program began in November of 2021 and gave providers monthly funding after Evers directed $351 million in federal pandemic relief dollars to keep the program running through at least the end of 2023. Child Care Accounts has distributed more than $630 million in federal pandemic relief funds directly to 4,956 Wisconsin child care providers since its inception as of mid-June, according to the State Department of Children and Families. A Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed survey distributed to child care providers found that for nearly half of its respondents, child care accounts comprises between 20 and 30% of their revenue. So it sounds like programs we would want to support, right? Child care, making sure that people have a good, safe place to put their children while they are at work. Am I wrong? If you have an opinion on this, feel free to call in. The phone number is 715-388-7155. I'm going to take a quick break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Shotgun Willie sits around in his underwear, biting on a bullet, pulling out all of his hair. A Shotgun Willie's got all of his family there. Well, you can't make a record if you ain't got nothing to say. You can't make a record if you ain't got nothing to say. You can't play music if you don't know nothing to play. Shotgun Willie sits around in his underwear, biting on a bullet and pulling out all of his hair. Shotgun Willie's got all of his family there.
If this were a Reese's TV ad, you'd be staring at a Reese's peanut butter cup. And sure, my voice is peanut buttery smooth, but still, you need to see the peanut butter cups, right? No? I can really just say Reese's and you'll go get some? Okay, Reese's. Reese's.
Reese's. They're really working, actually. Reese's. Reese's. This, I'm on to something. Reese's. Reese's. Reese's.
Bobby, did we get that shipment of mesquite?
Jim's woodworking shop worked fine. Couldn't fit on those Japanese corners. Until half his staff retired.
Wow, those cuts are neat. I'm really going to miss your precision.
He needs four skilled woodworker bees ASAP.
All right, this jigsaw needs a new blade.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Our hiring platform instantly connects you with quality candidates, and you can schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from the Indeed dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed Group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
93.5.
The Tap.
93.5.
The Tap.
I'm meteorologist Megan Hatton. Building clouds and summer-like conditions expected for Wednesday. Scattered showers and thunderstorms, the high 84. A few storms this evening and overnight, then a clearing trend toward daybreak, low 58. More sunshine with a humidity drop Thursday, high 80. Currently, it's 64.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
We're having, right? Some hot fun in the summertime. 23 minutes after 8 o'clock, Sly and the Family Stone on the radio. And what were you just telling me, Aaron, that song was released on this date in 1969? Is that what you said?
Yes, that is accurate.
Well, that's good news, man, because we don't even need a reason to be playing that song, but now we have one. So I'm glad we got it on. Some classic music for you from the 1960s. Things were a lot different then. I tell you, back in those days, Democrats and Republicans. Democrats were known for being a little bit more liberal and supporting social programs, safety nets, trying to help the people, working class, middle class. And the Republicans were known for being a little more conservative and supporting businesses and supporting the war efforts, the military and the military industrial complex. But it didn't seem at the time, at least to me, that anybody was at extremes. But now, are things different? Maybe so. It seems like some politicians and some lawmakers are at way more extremes than they used to be. But we've always said that our democratic republic is the most important thing, right? We all pledge to support the Constitution, right? Well, things have changed. I have a story here from Vanity Fair with a headline that says the GOP picks Donald Trump over democracy. This piece is by Molly Jong Fast. It says here that brushing off election charges and attacking the justice system are the real indictments of today's Republican Party. It does seem that the Republican Party, Republicans, Republican lawmakers, are attacking some of our bedrock institutions here in our nation, the FBI, the Department of Justice. What happened? Republicans used to be supporters of law enforcement, right? Back the blue. What happened to that? Let's get into the story a little bit before we have to take our next break. It says when the 1,090th person to be charged in connection with the January 6th attack, in other words, Donald Trump, appeared in court last week, it was, unlike those many previous defendants' cases, major international news. Quote, "This is a historic day for America," a British television anchor told me on set in London. As Donald Trump faced charges 3,600 miles away, I looked at her, quote, "I mean, this is the third time it's happened, and we're all still waiting for Georgia's Fani Willis to file the fourth," end quote. Americans may be getting used to a former president racking up indictments, but overseas, people were baffled by our political predicament. A journalist friend asked me how it was possible that Trump could be both a defendant and a presidential candidate. I stammered something about how, well, if you lived in America, you'd understand. And she responded, "The founding fathers didn't see this one coming." She's right. No one in the political establishment saw someone like Trump coming, or now can say precisely when he's leaving. Because even as Trump appears diminished, weighed down by mounting state and federal charges on top of ongoing civil cases, he also looks unstoppable in the Republican primary. A recent New York Times Siena poll found Trump at 54%, crushing the rest of the field, with the base seeming to cling tighter to him as the legal threats grow. "Every time they file an indictment, we go way up in the polls," he said Friday at a GOP fundraiser in Montgomery, Alabama. "We need one more indictment to close out this election," end quote. We'll get to the rest of this story from Vanity Fair right after a quick break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
A shadow in the city, all around, people looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk harder than a match, yeah. But at night it's a different world, go out and find a girl, come on and dance all night, despite the heat it'll be alright. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
CBS News Brief. Wildfires in Hawaii, fanned by strong winds from nearby Hurricane Dora, have burned buildings to the ground, closed schools, and caused power outages on Maui. Adjutant General Kenneth Hara.
Four ships were sent over there
because people are jumping into the water to avoid the fire, and that the Coast Guard is providing support as we speak.
At least 12 people have been rescued in eastern France. At least 9 people have been killed in a fire that ripped through a vacation home for adults with disabilities. 2 others are missing. Police say they were trapped on an upper floor and in a mezzanine area. Voters in Ohio have rejected a plan that would have made it more difficult to add abortion rights protections to the state's constitution. Republican Senate President Matt Huffman.
Obviously, there are a lot of folks who did not want this to happen, not just because of the November issues, but for all of the other ones that are coming.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley.
Today's the third day of hearings in the Lindley Peters homicide case in Chippewa County to determine where the case will be heard in court. Peters was killed last year and left in the woods near her home in Chippewa Falls. Judge Stephen Gibbs will decide this week whether the lone suspect, a 15-year-old boy, will be tried as an adult or if the case will go to juvenile court. The boy is charged with first-degree intentional homicide, which carries a mandatory life sentence in prison if he's convicted as an adult. Unity High School science teacher Brian Collins will represent Wisconsin in the National Teacher of the Year program. The DPI announced that Collins, one of 5 Wisconsin Teachers of the Year, will take part in national professional development and represent the state as part of the program. Collins has been a teacher for 22 years at Unity. The National Weather Service in the Twin Cities says that it'll be very summer-like today across much of northwestern Wisconsin, with temperatures into the 80s. There'll be rain chances later today and throughout the rest of the week.
For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
I've got some cheese curds that I'm willing to share. Then I want to ride that giant slide over there. So if you've got 11 days to spare, won't you come with me to the Wisconsin State Fair? Won't you come with me to the Wisconsin? The great state of Wisconsin State Fair.
There's something for everyone at the Wisconsin State Fair, presented by U.S. Cellular August 3rd through the 13th.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed Group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago, and that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost 2.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Econowoc. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raise the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Somewhere. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show on a Wednesday morning, 8:33 right now. And just before the break, we were discussing this story in Vanity Fair about Republicans choosing Donald Trump over democracy. And just before the break here, I was mentioning, well, we had a quote from Donald Trump at his GOP fundraiser in Alabama on Friday. He said, we need just one more indictment to close out this election. In other words, he's saying that the more indictments he gets, the more likely it is that he will be the Republican candidate. I don't know if the indictments have anything to do with it. Maybe they do. It seems like some voters like him even more the more he gets indicted. Could that be possible? I'll continue with the story. It says, and by the way, this is by Molly Jong Fast in Vanity Fair. In 2016, Trump won the Republican primary by being underestimated by his competition. 7 years later, his challengers find themselves overestimating. The 77-year-old scared to criticize him or offer a competing vision for a post-Trump GOP. Ron DeSantis' strategy of running as Trump without charisma hasn't gotten him out of distant second place, while the rest of the field is polling in the single digits. Sure, some back-of-the-pack candidates like Asa Hutchinson and Chris Christie are willing to criticize the former guy, but most of the 2024 hopefuls and Republicans in general are more likely to attack the rule of law, decrying the idea that the former president be accountable for everything from pushing fake electors to trying to prevent the certification of the 2020 election. For Republicans these days, targeting the Justice Department is an easy win with the base. Quote, "The most recent Trump indictment is a clarifying moment," tweeted never-Trumper turned super-Trump Senator J.D. Vance, U.S. Senator from Ohio. He said they're trying to throw the former president in prison for saying bad things. The regime has crossed a line. If your response to this is to whine about Trump, you're useless. Vance, who went to Yale Law School, must know the difference between simply saying things and conspiring to overturn an election. But pandering to the MAGA faithful is now the main tenet of modern-day conservatism. DeSantis, Trump's supposed challenger for the nomination, also responded to the third indictment by targeting the judicial process. Quote, "Washington, D.C. is a swamp, and it is unfair to have to stand trial before a jury that is reflective of the swamp mentality," he wrote on Twitter. "One of the reasons our country is in decline is the politicization of the rule of law," end quote. Instead of running against Trump, you have Republican candidates running with Trump against democracy and the rule of law. Though defending our guy may appeal now to Republican primary voters, the question is whether that reasoning will sway voters who don't see Trump as a religious figure. Conventional wisdom would dictate that voters, especially independents who could tip the 2024 election, need to be offered something besides defend Trump and woke bad. Woke bad is another way that the rest of the Republican field offers a very watered down version of Trumpism. However, woke-ism is a completely meaningless word that registers with only 17% of voters ages 65 and older. Perhaps it shouldn't be a surprise that DeSantis, a guy who once managed to bemoan the left's woke agenda 5 times in less than 20 seconds, hasn't been getting traction. Some donors apparently see the need for Republicans to broaden their appeal. Las Vegas-based businessman and DeSantis mega donor Robert Bigelow told Reuters that his candidate, quote, "does need to shift to get to moderates. He'll lose if he doesn't. Extremism isn't going to get you elected," end quote. Trump's third indictment, which outlines an alleged conspiracy to, quote, "impair, obstruct, and defeat the federal process of certifying the 2020 election," is his most damning yet. Trump has pleaded not guilty. The fake electors plot itself is as harebrained as you'd imagine. According to prosecutors, it included Trump lawyer Kenneth Cheesebro writing in a December 13th email that the strategy, quote, was not to use the fraudulent electors only in the circumstance that the defendant's litigation was successful in one of the targeted states, but to falsely present the fraudulent slates as an alternative to the legitimate slates at Congress's certification proceeding, as with the previous two indictments, or in the aftermath of January 6th, or stretching back to the Access Hollywood tape, there was a moment after the latest charges in which Republicans had a chance to untether themselves from the albatross that is Trump, and once again, they refused. Republican voters and donors could band together and elevate another candidate, even though most haven't offered anything but weak Trump-adjacent futures for the GOP. Instead, donors and voters seem paralyzed by the inevitability of Trump. Perhaps they don't acknowledge the damage Trump is doing to democracy, or they simply don't care. But the fact that the 2024 field, with rare exceptions, isn't even trying to offer a post-Trump, pro-democracy future is perhaps the worst indictment of today's GOP, Republican Party. So that's the story from Vanity Fair, "The GOP Picks Donald Trump Over Democracy," by Molly Jong Fast. That piece, by the way, was posted yesterday at Vanity Fair. We've got 8:40 right now, almost 8:41. And by the way, I would invite you to call in if you have an opinion on anything we're discussing today. The phone number is 715-388-7155. So let's move away from politics for a little bit here and discuss the best places for young professionals to live. If you are in your 20s, and you're thinking about moving somewhere to build your life, where would you go? I know there are probably some students listening to this show, college students in La Crosse or Eau Claire or elsewhere. And you may be thinking about that. Where do you go? You want to move to a bigger city? Maybe move outside of Wisconsin? Well, you could move to a bigger city, and you might want to stay in Wisconsin because, according to this headline, Milwaukee is ranked by Forbes magazine as a top city for young professionals. And Milwaukee isn't the only Wisconsin city. Madison also made the list. This piece from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel posted 2 hours ago. It says, whether it be soaking in the sun at Bradford Beach, watching one of the city's major sports teams, or enjoying a beer at the seemingly endless amount of microbreweries, Milwaukee has plenty to offer for anyone. However, on a recent Forbes list, Milwaukee was acknowledged for what it can offer young professionals looking to start their careers and build a solid financial foundation. The Forbes list graded the best U.S. metros for young professionals, and Milwaukee ranked 16th. The Goodland was included on the list because of its relatively low median home price, which is $339,600, and estimated monthly mortgage payments, which would be $1,139. The only other Wisconsin city to make the list was Madison, which just squeezed into the top 25 at number 22. The state's capital lost points for its higher median home price, which according to the list is $397,900. And by the way, that median home price in Milwaukee, as I mentioned earlier, $339,600, almost a $60,000 difference between Milwaukee and Madison. But I would say that even though the median price for a home is much higher in Madison, I would guess that wages, salaries in Madison are higher as well, median speaking salaries. So how were the cities graded on the Forbes list? Well, many factors went into ranking cities across the country, but the most significant factors included unemployment rate, affordability, median home prices, median income, and estimated monthly mortgage payments. Categories were also created to measure cultural amenities and food and drink prices. So in addition to Milwaukee and Madison appearing on the list, the Midwest region nearly swept the top five as Des Moines, Iowa, Omaha, Nebraska, Columbus, Ohio, and Cincinnati, Ohio all made the top five. That's right. Des Moines came in first. Omaha came in third. Columbus, Ohio was fourth. Cincinnati, Ohio was fifth. Minneapolis came in sixth. Indianapolis came in 13th. And Detroit made the list. Detroit came in 14, which is actually ahead of Milwaukee. Milwaukee came in 16th. So in recent history, Milwaukee has been known to populate lists geared toward recent graduates and young professionals on websites like Smart Asset and CNBC, where the city has routinely ranked in the top five on such lists. However, after the pandemic, the city's ranking on these lists dropped. It says this year and last year have represented a return to form for the city, though. In addition to its inclusion on the Forbes list, Milwaukee's Bronzeville neighborhood was recognized in a New York Times list, highlighting 52 places for a changed world. Recent investment and the development of cultural infrastructure, such as the Black Holocaust Museum, were reasons why the neighborhood was included on the list. Okay, so good news for Milwaukee and Madison. And for the Midwest in general, probably doing a lot better than many people expected, I would guess. So we got 8:46 right now. Let's move on to the economy. I know that some people think the economy is not doing that well, but if you look at these statistics, if you look at the facts and the figures, you might think differently. Story here from Fortune says that the UPS drivers' new $170,000 per year deal shows that unions and Joe Biden may just save the middle class after all. Bidenomics and a strong labor movement are in full effect as full-time UPS drivers win a high six figures. This piece was posted yesterday, late afternoon. And we'll get to it right after we take a quick break. It's just a two-minute break, so stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
You say you want a revolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world. You tell me that it's evolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world. But when you talk about destruction, don't you know that you can count me out? Don't you know it's gonna be alright? Alright.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
It doesn't hurt, feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break. So we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag Civic Pints. Give blood and you could get a prize too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5, The Tap.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is 93.5, The Tap. 93.5. The Tap. 93.5. The Tap.
I'm meteorologist Megan Hatton. Building clouds and summer-like conditions expected for Wednesday. Scattered showers and thunderstorms, the high 84. A few storms this evening and overnight, then a clearing trend toward daybreak, low 58. More sunshine with a humidity drop Thursday, high 80. Currently at 66.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
If my words did glow with the gold of sun, and my tunes were played on the harp unstrung, would you hear my voice come through the music? Would you hold it near as it were your own? It's a hand-me-down. The thoughts are broken. Perhaps they're better left unsung. I don't know. Don't really care. Let there be songs to fill the air. When there is no pebble tossed, nor wind to blow, reach out your hand. If your cup be empty, if your cup is full, may it be again, let it be known. There is a fountain that was not made by the hands of men. There is a road, no simple highway, between the dawn and the dark of night. And if you go, no one may follow. That path is for your steps alone. Ripple in still water, when there is no pebble tossed, no wind to blow. You can choose to lead, must follow. But if you fall alone. If you should stand, then who's to guide you? If I knew the way, I would take you home. La da da da.
I knew the way, I would take you home.
La, da, da,
music from the Grateful Dead. Jerry Garcia singing that song. as we commemorate the days between. The days between Jerry's birthday and his death day. Jerry Garcia, born on August 1st, and he passed away on this date, August 9th, 1995. Thanks for all the great music, Jerry. We've got 8:54 right now on this Wednesday morning, and outside, Eau Claire at 65 degrees right now, Amory at 67 degrees. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show, and if you have a comment on anything we're discussing today, feel free to call in. The phone number is 715-388-7155. And you can also send me an email message. My email address is stumanradio@gmail.com. And Stu, in this case, is spelled S-T-U. Hey, just before the break, we were discussing the story in Fortune that says that UPS driver's new $170,000 per year deal shows that unions and Joe Biden may just save the middle class after all. Did you know that that new deal for UPS includes a wage of $170,000 per year? And maybe I should become a UPS driver. The subheadline says Bidenomics and a strong labor movement are in full effect as full-time UPS drivers win a high six-figure salary. This was posted late yesterday by Chloe Berger. It says dogs might not be so happy to know that their sworn enemies are about to make salaries in the high six figures. After contract negotiations this summer, full-time drivers for UPS saw their salaries boosted from $145,000 to $170,000 annually, including benefits, according to data shared by the shipping company on a recent call. While not everyone is winning as much as these UPS workers, this represents a symbolic triumph for unions, the middle class, and the labor-friendly White House, excluding German shepherds in the case of Joe Biden's noshing pet, Champ, as it's a testament to collective efforts to boost the middle class for the first time in a generation or two. The public has noticed. Jobs site Indeed reported a 50% surge in searches for UPS or United Parcel Service within a week of the new contract, Bloomberg reported. Biden's famous adoration of ice cream has really only been paralleled or eclipsed by his love for this middle class. His campaign premise to revive the average American quickly led to a new word, Bidenomics, a portmanteau much like Obamanomics, Reaganomics before, or Obama as of late, that refers to, in Biden's own words, quote, building an economy from the middle out and the bottom up, not the top down. Man, $170,000 a year. Maybe I should consider a UPS job. 8:57 and a half. Going to take a break for the top of the hour news. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show. Your steps alone.
Still water when there is no pebble tossed, no wind to blow. You choose to lead, must follow. But if you fall, you fall alone. If you should stand, then who's to guide you? If I knew the way, I would take you home. La da da da, la da 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 da, la da 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 da.
That I'm willing to share. Then I want to ride that giant slide over there. So if you've got 11 days to spare, won't you come with me to the Wisconsin State Fair? Won't you come with me to the Wisconsin?
There's something for everyone at the Wisconsin State Fair, presented by U.S. Cellular, August 3rd through the 13th.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. 470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the Central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit thrivent.com/disclosure.